So today is Makara Sankranti, means Sannyas, Leela, Smarana Mahaprabhu, and we're going to speak about that. But you said you had something relevant. And
relevant question.
Yeah.
If Maharaj finds it irrelevant, just reject it. Why seeing Mahaprabhu in Sannyas Vesh is as heartbreaking as seeing Krishna in Dvaraka Vesh? And why being the followers of Mahaprabhu's teachings, the teachings that were predominantly given by him after taking sannyas, we still worship deities of Nimai Pandit and take the day when he took sannyas as one of the saddest?
All right, I think in the course of the discussion we'll get to that. But on this point, we can say with mixed emotions, because of Mahaprabhu's decision to take sannyas, it's to rescue the fallen souls, then we can say, well, then that should be a cause for celebration. But when we factor in the love of his devotees and how happy they are in their pastimes, that he will have to give that up, that's where the heartbreak comes. So, but then we have to consider the pastimes of Mahaprabhu as a whole. So we're told 48 years, right, from his appearance to his leaving the world. And he takes sannyas at the age of 24. And just as a sidebar about today being Makara Sankranti, what is Makara? And what is it, Capricorn and the Western? But Makara is a mythical creature in Bhagavatam that looks somewhere between, shall we say, a dolphin, an alligator, and, or not, who has the longest snout, the crocodile or the alligator with the long, anyway, like that. It's a mythical, beautiful-looking creature. But anyway, this time of year means it's when the northern course of the sun, or the earth in relation to the sun. So in that sense, it means like new beginning. At the end of one period, the beginning of another. And that's a simple way of expressing some comparison. But it's there. So the first 24 years have finished. Now he will take sannyas and enter the last 24 years, which are called the Shesh Lila, or the final pastimes, divided into two sections. Madhya Lila for the first 6 years or so, and then the Antya Lila for the last 12 to 18. So, but these first 24 are very significant and sweet, and they're the primary subject matter of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. As Guru Maharaj said once in comparison, just an inoffensive, simple comparison, but he was saying, Chaitanya Bhagavat is rasa without ontology. They say, why? Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a handful of Sanskrit verses in the entire work. Really. We're surprised in retrospect to look and see, oh, there's a handful of Sanskrit verses. The rest, so he's saying, it's rasa without ontology. Chaitanya Charitamrita is rasa with ontology. There's 1,000 Sanskrit verses and a very of great complexity and of a comprehensive nature, and so many things are expressed there with Sanskrit. And Kaviraj Goswami deals with that, about people who might complain and say, why does this book is so full of Sanskrit? And he's saying, first of all, I mean, it's interesting that he deals with it. But he says, first of all, there isn't that much Sanskrit in it. It might be a lot for some, but he's saying, there, and But the Bhagavatam is all Sanskrit, the commentaries are Sanskrit, and this is the way it's expressed, like anything. And for the most part, I put it in vernacular Bengali so that it would be easily accessible to everyone. And that's true. We even say, well, we're not native Bengali speakers, but it's been translated out and so forth. But those verses, they're not so easy to translate. Radha, Krishna, Pranaya Vikritir Hladini Shaktarasmad. How Radha and Krishna, they are originally one, then they separate into two, they become one again. So Srip Damodar, as he's saying, what, Gaur Leela is first, they are one, and then they become two as Radha and Krishna, and then again, or Gaur, the inverse. Is it spring, summer, winter, fall? I mean, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter. How does this cycle go? Or are they running in parallel, as Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur suggests? He even says the pastimes of union and separation are running in parallel. So these, and Gurudev said once the word, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir, which we can say generally means like transformation. He said, I've been thinking about this word for 40 years. That's what is divine grace. Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadeva Goswami. I've been thinking about this word for 40 years. So that's Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Chaitanya Bhagavat, rasa without ontology. It's not ontologically heavy. And there, the early pastimes of Mahaprabhu and as Nimai Pandit, the scholar, even we can say pastimes of scholarly arrogance at times, appearing that way. But so much so that we're told Gadadhar Pandit is sometimes avoiding him. But how sweet is that? Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. And here's Krishna as Nimai Pandit. And she has to, like, try and avoid him in the street. Why? Because he'll say, oh, Gadadhar, come here, I want to speak to you. And then he'll engage in some sort of philosophical discussion and ask a question, have Gadadhar answer it, then defeat that and fluster and frustrate Gadadhar Pandit. Then, who's reconsidering that position that was just defeated, and another one reasserted, thinking, all right, I'll embrace that position. Then he'll do the opposite, defeat that position, leaving Gadadhar Pandit utterly frustrated. But it's like he's teasing his favorite, his beloved, and it's giving some joy. It's actually giving joy to Gadadhar Pandit. But these kind of things are there. And what does Gadadhar Pandit say? Nimai Pandit is so perfect in every way, and so sweet and so extraordinarily beautiful, has one flaw. He's not a devotee of Krishna. And if you realize that, I mean, the humor in that, in a sense, is that here's Radharani as Gadadhar Pandit saying, why did Krishna descend as Mahaprabhu but to experience Bhakta Bhav, culminating in Radha Bhav? So it's as if to say, like, you're playing in this way as this arrogant scholar, and you have these other pastimes, but when are you going to start showing your devotional colors and your devotional mood? The devotees are eager for that. And say, how sweet is this? These are all Krishna's most intimate devotees. And they have restless anticipation. When is Krishna going to start experiencing devotion? They can't wait, and it's, you know, what's the word? They're just so, restless or eager in anticipation of that. But he will also show, how do you get devotion? See, if he just came and had devotion, that wouldn't be a good example for others. Because then they would think, I am like that also. I was born that way. I don't know why I do that. I just offended 1.3 billion people. But and I'm sure a few others will be added by the end of the talk. But that's what I'm saying. So what does he show? You get devotion through the association of devotees, even in his case. So he must show for some time he's not a devotee. Right? They're praying for that time when he will become a devotee, when he will show devotion. And then we hear he goes to Gaya and ostensibly to do the Shraddh ceremony for his departed father. But when he returns, he's in Gopi Bhav. And some people think he's lost his mind. Now he's always singing the praises of the gopis. So we see immediately going for the highest, like Gopi Bhav. He comes back, not in like a little bit of the, he comes back in full-blown Gopi Bhav, so much so that he is speaking against Krishna. Like, that's a heavy conversion. Right? So who did you convert into someone who's like in opposition to Krishna? Krishna. That's pretty heavy. Now you've got Krishna blaspheming Krishna. But not in any normal way that one might think. What is he saying? He's in man, which means the type of loving anger expressed by Radharani and the Braja Gopis toward Krishna, which is symptomatic of how much they are madly in love with Krishna and only want to hear about Krishna, only want to talk about Krishna, cannot live without Krishna. So even the slightest thing, real or perceived slight, can set them off into these, and you know, anger expressions. So he's saying, you know, Krishna, he's chanting Gopi, he's glorifying the gopis. And some of the students, they object to this. They're saying, why are you chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi? You could chant the name of Krishna, that would be good. What are you saying? Krishna, he's a despicable man. They're going, oh, you can't say that. I just did. The gopis, they're so great. But this Krishna, he's causing them so much suffering and heartbreak. And at one point we hear, he's chasing one of the students. He's going to punish him. So I think, Nimai Pandit's running after someone, a Brahmin, to punish him for suggesting that he chant Krishna Nam. But the devotees, when they see it, they think, did you hear the good news? And what is that? Nimai Pandit's become a devotee. No. Yes. He really? Yes. Now he's a devotee. He's always, you know, lost in Gopi Bhav. And of course, then the full spectral range of appreciation there, he's madly taking the name of Krishna, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, they're having all-night kirtan. Those students could not understand his Gopi Bhav, that man, that loving anger that betrays the depth of Krishna Prem. It can only be expressed in the deepest plane. But the devotees can recognize this. And then what does he do? Very humbly, he approaches them and says, by your grace, because they're so happy to see he's now a devotee of Krishna, And he's saying, by your grace, I got devotion. By the grace of all of you devotees, I take the dust from your feet upon my head for giving me this greatest gift. So he's attributing, and it must be, he's attributing this newfound devotion to Krishna as being the mercy of all of the Vaishnavas. That is perfect, and that is the way it must be. But we see in the pastimes before taking sannyas, sometimes momentarily, almost like temporary insanity, momentary displays of divinity. Varaha avatar, his the Mahaprakash, where he's sitting on the Shringasan for what, 21, 22, 3 hours, giving, liberally distributing Krishna prema to everyone. That Kola Vecha Sridhar comes, whom he had robbed. His pastime was just cheating him. The man, he's barely making a living selling plantain leaves, plantain cup, and plantain leaf plates. And Nimai Pandit is always coming by. And remember, half of what he gets, he gives toward Ganga Puja. And the other half, he's somehow surviving. He has a metal water pot that's been patched like 20 times. It's an old, battered, rusted, horrid thing. He has nothing. And Mahaprabhu will always come to him and go, yeah, I like your leaf cups and your leaf plates. How much are they? I'm saying, this is what I have. And he said, some discount you could give. No, I mean, this is the rock bottom price. You know, other people are selling it for cheaper. Then buy from them. No, I want to buy from you. Half off. Give me half off. No, that's absurd. Half off. Half off. And we have a deal. Deal? Do we have a deal? Half off. And he's charmed by the beauty of Nimai Pandit and the sweetness of his ways. And he's, all right, for you. Then when that he's showing the Mahaprakash, and that Sridhar comes and he's saying, I'll give you whatever you want. That's the time you say, I want Krishna prema, or I want the eternal devotion. I want, many people, they ask for different things. What does Sridhar say? My desire is that Brahman who comes and cheats me day after day, that he will do that life after life eternally. That's what I ask of you. That's how we understand who is a devotee and of what quality they are. That's what he asked for. Continue this. So when Nimai Pandit observes that the devotees, they understand his pastimes. But those whom he's come, and they've descended with him to enact these pastimes, to participate, to assist, to spread, extend to others. But whom he's meant to deliver, they don't understand. And to what degree? They're offending him. And what will be the results of offending the Supreme Entity? So now he's getting the actual opposite of, because he descended for two reasons. One, to relish the Bhakta Bhav culminating in Radha Bhav. But on the other hand, Bahiranga Sangha Kori Nama Sankirtan, to liberate everyone with the Nama Sankirtan movement. It's not going that way. In fact, they're offending him. They think he's an arrogant person who thinks he's better than them, and he's lost his mind. Right? Sometimes we know he's laughing madly, sometimes laughing for 3 hours, 6 hours, nonstop. What would you think? And Mother Sachi, she's like concerned about her son. And she thinks, is she will put some, what is that, like Brahmi Rasayam, the Ayurvedic head tonic to like cool your brain down, bring you back to sanity. She tries a bottle, you know, a pot, then thinks it's not working. He's still laughing wildly, madly. Puts him in a bathtub, like up to his neck, in the same liquid. He's splashing around, laughing madly. Srivas Thakur of the Panchatattva comes to visit, and she's going, Srivas, Nimai's lost his mind. And he, what does he say to her? I want a drop of what he's got. Give me a drop of that divine substance. And then he stops laughing. And says, Srivas, if you thought I was crazy, then I would just leave the world. What's the point? But that you understand, that gives me some hope. So the devotees know. But the non-devotees who he's come to liberate, they do not know. And in Guru Maharaj's words, the patient is abusing the doctor. The doctor's like trying to give the medicine, and the patient is refusing and abusing that very doctor who's come to rescue them. So he devises a strategy for this campaign that if I take sannyas, the custom is such that everyone will have to show me regard. They'll have to respect me. And we know, as Guru Maharaj said, when you accumulate, that means you will accumulate sukriti. With the accumulation of sukriti, you acquire the capacity for appreciation. That's important to understand. The accumulation of sukriti results in acquired capacity for appreciation. That's how you can appreciate Krishna consciousness, because it's beyond rational. So he internally reaches this decision. Remember, his wife is 14. This is still like Vedic. She's 14. Vishnu Priya Devi is 14 years old. And his eldest brother, Vishwarup, he already took sannyas, and father has left the world. So Mother Sachi, she's under the care of him. So he's taking care of his wife and his mother. So to take sannyas means he'll have to leave them. And I mean, this would be heartbreaking in a normal circumstance. But what does it, we can't conceive of the sort of love that Mother Sachi has for Nimai. So if you can understand how we think that we love people in this world, you know, our partners or children or parents or whatever it might be, if we amplify that, multiply that ad infinitum, then how much maternal love could Sachimata have for Nimai, Yashoda for Krishna? Just as Guru Maharaj said, when we're talking about Sevan Mukhe Hijabaru Shaimre Vispuritira, the current, devotional current of the voltage of the devotional current of the Krishna Nam of Yashoda when she takes Krishna's name. The voltage of the loving devotional current in the Krishna Nam of Srimati Radharani. What is it like when she takes Krishna's name? What effect does that have upon him? They're inseparable. So it's heartbreaking for the devotees. What the devotees, they can't imagine what this will do to Sachimata and Vishnupriya. It's killing them. Advaita Acharya threatens suicide. And saying that, but he thinks, if I try to do it in the day, the devotees will stop me. So I'm just going to maintain my composure during the day. Tonight I'll finish myself. They're like that. So he, Nimai Pandit, before he meets with Nityananda Prabhu, and only a few know what he's going to do. And of course, Nityananda knows these pastimes, but that's why it's hard for us to conceive, because on the one hand, we know it's like a play. Right? It's lila. These are pastimes. But by the grace of the Goswamis, we're given some insight. So we know that Yogamaya, one of her functions is to create spiritual illusion by which this is all perceived to be real. And that allows them to experience the greatest depths of emotionality. Because we'll think, well, they must know. I mean, there will be a happy ending. Or no, we see, even in this, look in our own experience, the Stanislavski method, right? Those actors, that they go so deep into the part, they're lost in that character. That's the Stanislavski method. You can be so immersed in a character that you've become that character, you believe it all to be happening. If that can be achieved by mundane actors, then what to speak of the eternally liberated associates of the Lord under the influence of Yogamaya? So it's a level of intensity and love and affection beyond what we can conceive. It's not a light thing. So when it's heartbreaking to Nityananda, but when the devotees think of what it's going to do to Sachimata and Vishnupriya, they can't digest it. It's just killing them. And what do we find? That night comes, which was 2 nights ago. And devotees, they all come and, like, in the evening visit Nimai Pandit. He garlands them. He knows he's going. Nityananda, Gadadhar, one or two others, Sachimata. But those devotees do not know. But it just so happens, maybe, perhaps through internal inspiration, Kolavecha Sridhar, he comes. Mahaprabhu drank from his water pot after the first Nam Sankirtan, when he was utterly exhausted and thirsty. That broken, busted, patched, rusted water pot, that's where he drank his water. And they were like trying to keep it away from him, and he was like drinking that water as if it was the ultimate nectarine substance, because it was the water from Kolavecha Sridhar. So he comes and brings this lao, gourd, pumpkin-like gourd. And Nimai Pandit is saying, how can I not honor this before I go? Someone else came and brought some milk, and then he told Sachimata to make something. So that's the last thing that he took before taking sannyas. And then that night, for some time, he entered yoga nidra. And Mother Sachi, knowing that he's leaving, she placed herself in the doorway, just out of utter desperation. And then at around 3 o'clock in the morning, he awoke, and when he saw her, he bowed down before her. This body belongs to you. And but to assuage her heartbreak, he's saying, you are my mother eternally. In Ram Lila, you're my mother. In every kind of Leela imaginable, you are always my mother. In Krishna Leela, you're Yashoda. And all these other avatars, that is you. You're always my mother, eternally and forever. Still, it's unbearable heartbreak for her, and he leaves. You know, he swims across the Ganga and goes to Katwa, to the ashram of Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And approaches him for sannyas. And he's saying that you can give me Krishna bhakti. That's what I've come for. I want devotion to Krishna. You can give that. And Keshava Bharati is thinking, "What? This is kind of absurd." But, and he's hesitant. And we're told in the Bhagavatam with regard to Vishnu Priya, they say, Tyaktva sudushtada surepshita raja lakshmin dharmista arja bachasad yadagara ranyam mayam rigam dvaita ipsitam anbadavad bande mahapurushate charanaravindam. This verse is interesting in the Bhagavatam because it's equally applicable to Ramachandra and Mahaprabhu. The bande mahapurushate charanaravindam. When applied to Ramachandra, saying he gave up the imperial throne, and with, together with Sita and Lakshman, they were exiled to the forest. And Mayam Rigam, the Maya took the form of a deer and deceived. It's telling the Ramlila in that way. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur applies to Mahaprabhu, saying, Tyaktva sudushta shurepshita Raja Lakshmi. Raja Lakshmi means here Vishnu Priya, and saying he gave up the imperial throne of the love that's in her heart. Right? That's what the imperial throne is there. The love in the heart of Vishnu Priya, which is inconceivable to us, that he had to forego. Right? Why? Mayam rigam doita ipsata ambadavad. To chase after those souls who are running after Maya. We're running, we're deluded by Maya. We're running after Maya's illusion. He's chasing after us to rescue us. To do that, he had to leave the imperial throne enshrined in the heart of Vishnu Priya Devi. So he's there in Katwa, and the word is spread. Sometimes people began to lament who had offended him, and now we've driven him out of Nadia Dar Gore Gora Jaire. Guru Maharaj at the same time. Nadia Dar Gore Gora Jaire. They're saying, oh, the light of Navadvip, Nadia is gone. What have we done? They're lamenting. See, already the transformation is occurring. And when he comes, Keshava Bharati, it appears as though the sun is entering his ashram. The effulgence of Maharu is so great. And then he sees this beautiful 24-year-old young man, and he wants to take sannyas, and he's thinking, this isn't good, this is not right. Usually, in the Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, you know, at a later stage, when life, the life cycle, Grihastha is finished, in the mid-50s or so, then sannyas. But here, at 24, and such a beautiful, extraordinarily, inconceivably beautiful young man, and then people are threatening outside. They're going, Bharati, if you give sannyas, we're going to destroy your ashram. Who do you think you are? And we're told, there's some ladies going, who invented this sannyas anyway? Where does this come from? Who came up with this idea? That a man, he should leave his mother and family? What? This is crazy. Where does it, who started this? And they're all, and they're, the crowd is growing. And Keshava, he's thinking how to get out of this. And he thinks that you have to go home and get your mother's permission. I mean, it's India after all. Right? Then he starts running. And then Keshava Bharati is thinking like, He's so charming. He's so beautiful. Of course he will tell him to come back. Of course he'll get permission. Who could refuse him anything? And they bring him back. Then it's time for the barber. And that's the part where the devotee, he's so beautiful with his hair. You know, his hair is long and it's perfumed, oiled, like very nice. And this they can't tolerate. And his face is so beautiful, moon-like face, lotus eyes, curling hair. It's just, they can't. And the barber, he's hesitating. No one wants to do this. They're trying to delay. Find excuses to delay this. Nityananda can't tolerate it. No one wants this. And somehow the day drags on and on and on, then it's arranged that the barber will shave his hair. And then, and Guru Maharaj has recorded this in his Premadama Deva Stotram. The lukka lukka koti, how the tears from the eyes of millions, they're crying and wailing to see the hair falling away from the beautiful moon-like face of Nimai Pandit. And that barber, he says, I will never shave another head. How could I? And Guru Maharaj said, he later took the occupation of a sweet maker, and it was said that his sweets had some extraordinary sweetness to them. Having touched sweetness personified, the Chintamani touch of sweetness personified, when he made sweets, they had extraordinary quality and characteristic. And then Chandrasekhar Acharya was assigned as his surrogate to do the rituals of sannyasa. He didn't do anything. Chandrasekhar did everything for him as a proxy. And we're told repeatedly when they try to do the ceremony repeatedly, he will get up and start madly taking Krishna Nam, then Keshava Bharati starts chanting the Avakirtan, then they try to calm down and go on with the ceremony, and it starts again and again. And then the time comes for the mantram. And right before Keshava Bharati is going to say the sannyas mantram to him, Nimai Pandit said, a sadhu came to me in a dream and whispered this mantra, is this the mantra? And which we know is generally taken to be tattvamasi. It's the Mayavadins, right? Where they're saying, you are that Brahma, that ultimate substance. That's how they take it. But when Nimai Pandit says this to Keshava Bharati, he is in essence initiating him with, he's giving the real actual meaning, say, I am his, I belong to him. That's another meaning. It's Gopi Bhav. Right? Or if we take it in higher, you are mine, is the type of Gopi Bhav of Radharani and her associates. So Keshava Bharati says, now he's initiated by Nimai Pandit saying, yes, that is the mantra. Then he vibrates the mantra and he said, and he's thinking, what name shall be given to him? And there's a system for giving names. 108, Shankaracharya picked 10 and used those out of the 108 for his line. We generally use all 108, and there's some system, which kind will be given and which combination. And he's thinking, but none of that applies to you. And he's saying, because the world was forgetful of Krishna consciousness. And you have descended to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone. That means Krishna Chaitanya. You have descended. You are Krishna Chaitanya. You are Krishna consciousness personified. And you're distributing Krishna consciousness to everyone. So your name must be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And everyone, Jai! Sri Krishna Chaitanya Ki Jai! And who was it? Srinivasacharya's father was there at the time. And when he heard this, Chaitanya, he became half mad and wandered away going, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And when he went to his village and everyone would say, what happened in Katva? Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Is all he could say. So it, as if it goes without saying, he became known, whatever his former name was, he became known as Chaitanya Das. So then, Nimai Pandit, he jumps out and he's saying, Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Badan Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajendranandan. Search for Sri Krishna, reality of the beautiful. Immediately, that's, he's searching for how? Etang samastaya paratmanishtam upasitam puravatamar maharshibi ahang tarishami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva yeva. It was Krishna who would have told this, I mean, the story, the Avanti Brahman. This verse is invoked at the time of sannyas, where he's saying, I will cross over the ocean of nations. How? By following all the sannyasin before me. And what did they do? Tamo mukundangri nisheva eva. Mukunda seva. Krishna said, serving the lotus feet. That's how. Right? In that way, it can be. It is achieved through seva, not through so-called renunciation, vairagya, this, that. You know. What is it? You know, nirbandha Krishna sambandha yukta vairagya muchite of Rupa Goswami. Through service, through seva, tamo mukundangri nisheva yeva. With that verse, and he's going, and with Nityananda Prabhu, and others, and he's immediately heading toward Vrindavan. That's his goal. Search for Sri Krishna. Go to Vrindavan. As we were just saying earlier, Prabhupada liked this verse. Well, he liked the whole thing, but particularly last verse of Sad Goswami Astakam, the Hey Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite Hey Nanda Shuno Kutaha. They're saying, where is the son of Nanda? Is he on the bank, Kalindi Jamuna, on the banks of the Jamuna? Where is he with the brother? Where is he? See, that is the essence of Krishna consciousness, the search for Sri Krishna. In the search is value. They never think, oh, now I've got. Right? Now we've captured the infinite. Sometime, momentarily, sometimes the higher, Advaita, will see that in a few days when he's got him in Shantipur. He can say that. Now I've got you. You tried to deceive me and hide, and I've got you. Momentarily, but generally, always, in the search for Sri Krishna, Krishnanu Sandhan. When we published Search for Sri Krishna of Srila Guru Maharaj, we're so often invoking the same, Brahma Jigyasa, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, it's Vedanta, that now is the time to inquire about, Brahma. What did Guru Maharaj say? Brahma Jigyasa, that is a dry thing. It means general spiritual inquiry. What is the time now? Krishnanu Sandhan, Rasa Jigyasa. Inquire about that, the heart's inner necessity. right? Personified as Krishna, Rasaraj, Mahabhav, Duryek Arup. Radharani and Rasaraj Krishna, Mahabhav Radharani, combined as one in Mahaprabhu. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, 10 million cupids personified as one, points in the direction of the seductive charm, beauty, and sweetness of Krishna. So you think, what? He's reality the beautiful, ecstasy personified. What could be more beautiful than that? If you took Radharani, here's Krishna. One thing, Radharani, the inconceivable beauty of Radharani is such that she, Krishna, is irresistibly drawn in attraction to her. What would happen if you combined them as one? Then that's inconceivable of inconceivable things and inconceivable beauty. So Guru Maharaj, when Brahma is saying, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, 10 million cupids personified, hint at the beauty of Krishna. What does Guru Maharaj say? Rupa Goswami as well says, what is it? Raso dama kamarbuda madura dama ujula tunur jati nama tankshas karani koti vidyoti basana hiranyanam lakshmi bhavan abhivavan angikal rucha Satchetanna kame punar apidashor yasyati padam. What is the beauty of the sweetness of the form of Mahaprabhu? 10 million cupids in full-blown cupidity. That sort of sweet, dazzling, you know, like beautiful, molten gold, Gauranga. But what does Guru Maharaj say? Koti kami murchitangri rupa rasa rangaram. Prema dama deva meva no me gora sundaram. Svarna koti darpa narva deho varna gauravam. 10 million brilliant mirrors of shining gold. Like that. Sometimes, you know, like when his hair stand on end, it's like the kadamba flower. That's when, in the nice way, other times, like thorns, when the ecstasy goes in another direction. Imagine that, hairs that have become like thorns. Other direction, like kadamba flowers with saffron pollinate, you know, sprinkled all over. But he's saying, Svarna koti darpanava deho varna gauravam padma pari jata ganda bandi tanga sauravam. Koti kami murchi tangri rupa rasa rangaram means 10 million cupids will faint to see the beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That's another way to think of it. The 10 million cupids fainting. How beautiful is that? And that Mahaprabhu, he's searching for Krishna, running madly. Guru Maharaj said, and almost like a childlike state of divine ecstasy. And the devotees are following him, but there's no, he's not going in the right direction. Instead of going toward the west, he's going toward the east, he's going north, he's going all over. And it's as if the love and affection of the devotees in Navadvip is pulling, that he can't escape that. So he's circling. The pull of their hearts is so great upon him, he can't break it. So it's, he's circling until at last, remember, he's in this divine madness state, and Nityananda, they find him. Sometimes they're separated from him. They can only find him by this piteous wailing. He's crying for his beloved Krishna. So Nityananda tells some cowherd boys, if this sannyasi comes by and he asks you where the Jamuna is, point in this direction. And at one point, Mahaprabhu, he's singing, dancing, but he's becoming a little disappointed. I don't hear any Krishna Nam here in this part of the world, in this part of the country. What's the matter? And then he sees the cowherd boys, and they're going like, Haribo, Haribo. And he thinks, oh, Vrindavan. Because they're dressed like cowherd boys and they're saying Hari Bol. He makes that conclusion. Where is Jamuna? And they go, this way. And he bathes, and the Jamuna, which is the western side of the Ganga, and he's so happy, Chidananda Bano, Sadananda Shunu, he's praising Jamuna, Prema, one of the Brahma Datri, the Prema, river of Prema, and then he sees there's Nityananda, there's Advaita Charja waiting on the shore with clean, his cloth is all wet, and he's waiting there with clean sannyas cloth. And Mahaprabhu says to him, Advaita, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? And Advaita said, so, you're kidding. Think, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Wherever you go, it's you're that person. Wherever you are is Vrindavan. How did I know you were in Vrindavan? What kind of a question is that? And then he's coming out of his trance, realize, oh, I've been duped by Nityananda. Ah, I'm a prey to the tricks of Nityananda. He said, well, Nityananda didn't actually lie because it's the Ganga and western side is considered Jamuna. So technically it's not a lie. But anyway, you come to my house in Shantipur. And that's when the devotees get some relief. They send Nityananda, the mother Sachi, who hasn't eaten or moved for days. She told the devotees, you're the natural inheritors of everything he has. You take everything. And it was heartbreak for them to see her like that. And Vishnupriya. But then we're told, Nityananda comes and tells Mother Sachi, we're all going to meet in Shantipur at the house of Advaita. And your beloved Nimai, who's now Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will be there and you'll get to see him and cook for him. And then Mother Sachi cooks for Nityananda and all the devotees. She makes a big feast, feeds Nityananda, all the devotees, and then she takes a little prasadam. Then they're all happy. Now everyone's happy again. They're going to Shantipur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we hear, when he does go there, as when he goes to other places, when the word spreads that Mahaprabhu will appear, the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, run in that direction. And we're told also that the gods and goddesses of the higher planets, they descend into this world and blend in human forms because they want to see him also. So it becomes like millions. And they're going, where did all these people come from? Some of them have descended from the higher planetary systems. So, and they're madly going. When they go to the river, there's the riverman with the boat. They get on the boats are sinking. Wherever the boat sinks, by Mahaprabhu's grace, there's a sandbar beneath. In other cases, they take big pots, turn them upside down, and cross the river in that way. Sometimes there's so many people going across the river that it's like a biblical parting. Nobody can drown. Just so many people go, nobody can drown. They just keep going. The water's pouring. And when they see him, they're climbing trees, and suddenly twigs on trees can support human bodies. Mystical things are, and everyone just wants to have a glimpse of the beauty of Mahaprabhu. They'll ask him to come out, like in the case of Vidya Vachaspati. He'll come out, like on the rooftop, and wave his arms, and everyone starts chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And they have some kirtan, and everyone's happy drinking the beauty of Mahaprabhu with their eyes. But it's at that time the Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his song, he's taking himself as one of the inhabitants of Vidyanagar, who's seeing Mahaprabhu on that rooftop. And he's saying, as someone from Srivasangam, he's saying, when will Nimai Pandit give up the robes of renunciation and join us again and our happy kirtans and Srivasangam? When will that day come? And Guru Maharaj is pointing out, this parallels Radharani and Brajagopi saying, when will Krishna give up this kingly dress, the Maharaj dress, right, of Dwaraka? He's a Maharaj there. He'll give up the Maharaj dress and come and join with us in our Rasalila back in Vrindavan on the banks of the Jamuna. So Guru Maharaj is identified. This is the same sentiment. Bhaktivinoda is saying, when will he give up this Maharaj dress, that, and come and join us again in Srivas Angam? So sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, as the entrance, yata yata gora padara vinde vinde ta bhaktim krita punya rasi tatata totsarputi hridya kasma radha padam boja sudambu rasi. Prabodhananda is saying, give your full attention to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Those who are sukritivan, sumedasa, yajanti hi sumedasa, refined theistic intellect, they will understand that by giving everything, focusing exclusively on the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and Gaur-lila, they will enter Krishna-lila. Radha padam boja sudambu rasi, and subconsciously, automatically, deep from within the heart's core, the radha rasa shuddha nidhi will begin to flow. In other words, they will spring out of the soil of Vrindavan engaged in radha dasyam. So, why did I say this? Because, Guru Maharaj said, so, as Gaur-lila is the entrance to Krishna-lila, as every atom of Navadvip is capable of giving Vrindavan in full, he's saying also the Nam Sankirtan of Mahaprabhu is, and Gaur-lila is the magnanimous distribution of Krishna-lila, Navadvip is distributing Vrindavan, the Nam Sankirtan is the Rasa-lila in distribution mode. How inconceivable is that? Jari gaur na hoita taviki hoita kemoni dori tam dehe Radhar mahima prema rasasimo jagata janatake. Why did Krishna come to Bahiranga Sangakori Namasan with his general, his associate, generally to Nam Sankirtan, distributing Krishna prema, giving others entrance? But what is his internal thing? Antaranga Sangakore Rasa Ashvadan, to taste rasa. Who is rasa? Not just what is rasa, whom? Rasa Raj is Krishna. So as Guru Maharaj said, sweetness is tasting itself. Because it sees everyone is mad after sweetness and sees the effects that sweetness has upon people. And think, I want to experience the same. So sweetness tasting itself and becoming mad as an outcome expressed in ecstatic dance and song. So he said the cause is the effect is the cause. Atma lila sarva siddha purna lokya shokya lakshanam. The ultimate conception of the ultimate reality is he's singing and dancing. Why? On account, if he, the Upanishads say, Om Purnam Adak Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasha Purnam Adaya Purnevam Avashishate. So, if purna just doesn't mean full, like, you know, a glass is full. It also means complete, fulfilled, utterly fulfilled, totally fulfilled. That is the position of ecstasy personified. But in this case, the supreme positive has taken the position of the supreme negative to relish Krishna relishing his own name. Only from the position of the devotee can, as Krishna, not. Right? But as a devotee, and not only a devotee, we're back to the voltage of the Krishna Nam of Radharani with Radha Bhav. How tasteful is Krishna? He's experiencing that. And that is making him so happy and fulfilled. Like in the true sense of the word, ecstatic means beyond yourself. He's besides himself, beyond himself. The end result is it's expressed in ecstatic dance and singing of Krishna Nam, which is the Nam Sankirtan movement. So we're supremely fortunate that on this day, Mahaprabhu, despite the personal heartbreak involved, and it's something real and true, Mother Sachi, Vishnu Priya Devi, and all the devotees, that rescue all the fallen souls, he did this. So it's the gift of Mother Sachi, Vishnu Priya, Advaita Charja, Haridas Thakur, all the great devotees. When I asked Guru Maharaj once, I said, so which shall we consider? We see the depth of Radha Bhav plunged the pastimes in Puri, particularly in the Gangbira behind closed doors with Swoop Damodar and Ramananda. So then I thought, but what about now? Which would be considered, you know, higher? And I'll never forget, Guru Maharaj said, stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu prefer Navadvip. And then I could understand. So from one point of view, we'll say, well, the depths of Radha Bhava are plunged behind closed doors in Puri, but all of this does not make the devotees happy to see the beautiful locks of Nimai shorn away when he takes sannyas, the results of those ecstatic symptoms. It's giving some pain in their hearts that they want these happy pastimes like they had in Navadvip. That's the good old days for them. So he said, stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu, they prefer Navadvip. And then the evidence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur given in that song, when will he join us again? So all these things have to be considered very carefully. But at the heart of the matter is union and separation. As Guru Maharaj, separate necessity indicates separation. This is his point. We have some particular necessity. Necessity, and it means we don't have that thing. So in that sense, we are separated. And we know hunger produces relish. Right? When you're really hungry, then you really enjoy. That's when you enjoy. Every morsel is just wonderful. Like the saying that, you know, hunger is the best spice. It's that principle that, and thankfully, mercifully, this is something that's realistic for us to culture. For neophytes to try and cultivate pastimes of union is not realistic, it's inappropriate, and it's damaging. Because we can't see beyond our senses. and mundane sensuality at this point. So we'll make the grave mistake of imposing mundane sensuality upon of the objective world upon the supersubjective sensuality of the Prakrita Leela of Krishna. That's a grave mistake. But we see the highest, the greatest depths of Krishna Prem are mined from the position of separation. Bahye Vishajalahoy Bhitare Nandapoy Krishna Premar Adbhuta Charit. And this is the subject matter of Chaitanya Charitamritam. As Gurudev said, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter? It's tasting what you feel in separation. It achieves a deeper region of heart, and therefore a deeper type of love and more tasteful, a deeper sort of relish. And this is supreme mercy, in that that's the position that is realistic for us. Because if one thing we know, we are separated from Krishna. So that's the only legitimate sort of culture for us. But it happens to yield the very highest thing. So how fortunate we are. And Mahaprabhu has come demonstrating this in his pastimes. Hare Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sanyas Leela Smaranam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. And that's why the devotees don't like to see that. So we worship Mahaprabhu, not with the shaved head, but looking like Nimai Pandit.